everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
This is Playing Around with Paige Renee.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Playing Around. You're with Paige and Amanda. We have so much to talk about. Right now, in this moment, Tiger Woods is in his plane flying to Augusta. It is looking very promising that Tiger Woods will be in the field at the Masters. And I like have goosebumps just even thinking about it.
I know. I woke up this morning and the news was kind of tracking Tiger's plane to Augusta. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I just saw a video about 5 minutes before we jumped on here to record of his plane making its descent into Augusta Regional. I guess whatever the other airport is, it's the runway's not big enough for his plane. So they have to go to Augusta. It's a little airport there. And it's exciting. Like, this means that Tiger has passed all of his other tests. Like, everything that he needed to do to even consider playing a practice round at Augusta. Just, you know, this doesn't mean he's playing. It just means that he's going to see if he can play. And I think that's a huge step in itself.
100%. I think it's less about, is his game there? We saw him at the PNC. His game actually looked really good. His swing looked good. He looks physically fit. Mm-hmm. I think it's, can he walk four rounds at Augusta National? Yep. If you've never been out there, it is so incredibly hilly. And I think people are really surprised by that, because on TV, yeah, you can see some of the elevation changes, but in person, it is unbelievable how up and down that golf course is. And so I think that's going to be really his only true test to see, like, hey, can I walk this golf course? Do I feel okay? Can I play four rounds here at Augusta? Because I know he's not going in there thinking, oh, well, I just want to be there to miss the cut. He's going in there thinking, like, I want to win the tournament. And so it's like, can his body hold up for the four rounds? And it's Tiger Woods. When he played Torrey at the US Open, he was playing on a broken leg. So we know that he has a really high threshold for pain, but is this good for him? Will it set him back? I think obviously he has such a smart team and he knows his body so well that we'll see what happens, but you're right. I mean, I think he's passed all of the tests. We got a really creepy video of someone taking him, like, I don't know. He was like
from the reeds.
Yeah. Like from like wherever they were taking a video of Tiger. His swing looked amazing. Obviously he's been practicing a ton. It's going to be interesting.
I know.
I feel like he's going to play.
I do too.
I feel that he would have called it by now if he knew that it wasn't going to happen. Or this is just one major tease and he's just like, fuck you guys. I'm gonna make you think that I'm playing. And then I'm just like hanging out.
See, like if anyone were gonna try to do some kind of pit play, it's not gonna be Tiger. Like I tweeted earlier, like Tiger wins the pit just by existing. Like if Phil still had a plane, then that would be like a pit move. Like if Phil just set his plane up there, just a circle, you know, PM, whatever. I think it was his old tail number was like N800 PM or something like that. And, you know, people would have been tracking that, but he doesn't have plane anymore. So he doesn't have any like pimp stunts to do. So I think it's genuine. I think that Tiger is, I think he won't, you know, he thinks if he tees it up, it means he thinks he can win the event. So like you said, Augusta is very hilly. I've been saying that on Twitch all week. People have been asking me and I'm like, look, Augusta is so hilly. Like if you want to start at St. Andrews, that's one thing, but starting at Augusta, you know, it's your first tournament back. It's tough. There is a lot of elevation change there and there's a lot of opportunity for him to slip, which he's done. He's tweaked his knee and his back before. So there's a lot of moving parts, but I think I do think that there is a chance that he will be there. But what kind of impact, Paige, do you think Tiger playing this year's Masters versus not playing this year's Masters would have?
I think anytime that Tiger Woods is in the field, it's great for the game of golf. I mean, everyone's going to tune in to watch him play. I think when now it just seems like a natural progression, but let's think back a year ago at the crash during the Genesis. Mm-hmm. We all thought for like a second, Tiger Woods is dead.
Yeah.
We thought we lost Tiger Woods and then we found out, okay, he's okay. Mm-hmm. And then it was, is he going to have a leg or not?
Yeah.
You know, so now it's like, oh yeah, like he's recovered and all this stuff. But just a year ago, mm-hmm. we were in this point where it's like, is he going to walk again? Is he ever going to play golf again? Is he okay? Like, right. You know, we had all of these questions and for it to be now at this point, Augusta's right around the corner and he is, I would say 95% going to play. Mm-hmm. It's shocking.
Yeah.
It is truly, truly shocking. And for him to just tee it up is going to be a major win for himself. I think for his family, for the game of golf, it's mm-hmm. massive. It's huge. I always thought that we would potentially have Tiger back again, mm-hmm. but I didn't know the status of his health.
Yeah. Like,
can he walk again? Could he play again? But the fact that he's so determined and how he saw him in shape at the PNC, it's amazing. It's good for golf. I don't care if he goes out there and he shoots an 85. Seeing him tee up after everything he's been through will be good.
No, I agree. And I think Tiger has just been so dominant in his career. You know, we saw him as world number one for how long? And now we have a new world number one who actually got there quicker than Tiger did, you know, with the wins and stuff. So I think Scottie Scheffler as the new world number one, I don't know if he's the next Tiger. You know, I always say it drives me nuts when people try to, you know, make every time someone wins a tournament, the next Tiger, but you know, as world number one, I think Scottie Scheffler is just gonna continue to do what he's been doing. What do you think? After, you know, he's won 3 times in his last 5 events. He's won, I think, $147,000 a day for the last 44 days or something crazy like that.
It's really interesting when you think about Scottie Scheffler. So he's 25 years old. I think people always, they're shocked to find out how old he actually is because he looks like he works on Wall Street.
Yeah.
He's in his mid-40s and has 3 kids, you know?
Literally.
Like, he looks like he's like seen some shit in his life. But he's 25 mm-hmm. and he's winning a lot right now. He is the most dominant player. Clearly, he's number one in the world now. He dethroned Rahm. Mm-hmm. No one's even been talking about Jon Rahm, honestly. He hasn't even been in the mix much, but I almost feel bad for Scottie Scheffler because he is the most dominant player in the game right now. He is so young. I think he's the best young player that we have. Mm-hmm. But we're all talking about Tiger.
Yeah.
And that seems to always happen. It's like these guys just don't have the it factor.
Yeah.
Let's just take away how dominant Tiger is. He just has this it factor, this charismatic, you know, he's aloof at times, but he's also
he's elusive.
He's an enigma.
You want to know more?
He's really hard to figure out. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why people are so drawn to him because he's so private, yet mm-hmm. there's been so much of his personal life that's been in the public eye. He can be very aloof, but he's also very charismatic. He doesn't sometimes always give the best interviews, but they're sometimes then super funny. You get the best clips out of them. So he is really difficult to figure out. I think that's what people like, what brings people in. Mm-hmm. We talked about this in the last episode. All these guys are just, they're just nice, good guys. Scottie Scheffler, a genuinely really good person, mm-hmm. a really nice person, but he's lacking to me that it factor that can bring different generations into the game from all different diverse backgrounds. They just doesn't have that, like that thing that I think when we talk about the next Tiger, I think it has less to do about the game, but more about that it factor. And I don't think we've mm-hmm. found that person yet. And I don't know if we ever will. I think Tiger is Tiger Woods. Like, he's just going to, there's never going to be another Tiger Woods. Mm-mm. But you look in other sports, you have, you know, like basketball, there's so many really engaging players that have huge fan bases. Mm-hmm. Does Scottie Scheffler have a huge fan base? Like, would people go out and watch Scottie Scheffler? I don't know.
I think so. Like, I've just kind of been hearing a lot of people, they love the chef. They love Scottie Scheffler. People seem to really like him. Like, he seems kind of like the frat boys like him, you know, the country boys like him. Like, everyone just kind of likes Scottie Scheffler. And, you know, he's not that, I don't even know, does he have social media? I assume someone runs it for him. But there is something about him. Like, he smiles and he's, you know, he's just kind of like a kid, but then at the same time, like an 80-year-old man. So it's paradoxical to kind of watch him, but it's fun. I think he doesn't quite have that it factor. I don't think anyone quite has that it factor like Tiger. Maybe Rory. Like, Rory's pretty private. Rory's kind of elusive, but then again, Rory is always there to give you a really good soundbite. So maybe not the best example, but yeah, I think to be world number one, like you said, you know, we haven't really heard much from Rom. Rom was finishing in the top 10 every single week for what seemed like an entire season. And now, you know, he's quote unquote fallen off because he's finishing in the top 20. But I think Scottie Scheffler, if he continues to do what he has been doing these last, you know, last month and a half, I think the sky's the limit. I think he could very easily be world number one for a very long time. So, but I also think kind of the pressure right now going into the first major of the season for the men, going into the Masters, he has three wins in the last month and a half heading into that. You know, is he going to win the Masters? It's like you would think, you know, realistically he should, but there's just so many factors. And real quick, when you said, you know, there's always that talk about Tiger, it's like the other guys are kind of getting overlooked for Tiger, but I almost would think that might be beneficial.
Takes the pressure off of them.
Right. Except for Brooks. Like, Brooks is the one guy that's like, please talk about me. Like, please put pressure on me. Whereas everyone else is like, don't ask me that. You know, Scottie Scheffler was like, don't ask me about world number one. You know, I'm not going to talk about it yet until I go out there and win, kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, that's just kind of, I don't know. I think it does take a little bit of the pressure off. And I think that probably helps.
Looking at the golf courses that Scottie has won on this year, they have very kind of similar course profiles, I would say. Mm-hmm. Do you think that his game is going to hold up on a more difficult golf course that's set up in major championship conditions?
Yeah, and that's interesting. Like, I think, so when he won at Waste Management, that's a course where really anyone can go out there and win. It's, you know, an easy course to play. You know, the scoring was pretty good though this year. And then, you know, he went on to win it Arnold Palmer Invitational, much harder course,
yeah,
much stronger field. That was a really, I mean, they played like major championship caliber golf there. I mean, that rough was 4 inches. They did not cut it from, I think, Monday or Tuesday on. So
shit, I forgot that he won there. This is the thing about like Scottie Scheffler. I just like fucking forget what he has done.
It's been so much. Like, I feel like it's just kind of been a whirlwind for us.
You said Arnold Palmer and I was like, oh shit. Yeah. He won 3 times already. Like, it just slips my mind with him.
And I know
that continuously happens where it's like, he's kind of just in the background for me. And I'm like, he's there, but he's not.
And then
like,
he wins.
And then he wins. He's like, not the first person that I'm like, Scottie Scheffler, I am going to take him this week. And even with the Masters coming up, I'm not like all in on Scottie.
Yeah, so you know, that's kind of how I feel about Sam Burns, whereas he's like there every week. And I'm always like, guys, he's so good, you have to bet him. And then come Sunday, he's, you know, about to finish top five. And I'm like, I know I have a top five or top 10 bet on him and I have no money on him. And I'm like, okay. So Sam Burns, like, we need to just remember to bet Sam Burns and Scottie Scheffler, okay? that's the important thing. Just bet those two.
It will be interesting, like you were saying, the pressure going into a major championship. Mm-hmm. I think for a lot of the young guys, they haven't had also the obligations. I think that people forget all of the extra work that they have to do when you are a top player. You have your press conferences, you have sponsor obligations, you have all of these other things that in the beginning of your career, especially these young guys, mm-hmm. maybe they'll have like a couple sponsors here and there, but it's not like you have to go out a couple days before and do meet and greets, and you don't have to do photo shoots. And this is during a week that you're prepping, especially for mm-hmm. the Masters, and even doing press conferences. I think we've seen this before where these guys, they're in the press conference and they're asking the questions like, you know, with Colin Morikawa. Why is your putting so bad? How are you going to get better with putting?
I know.
That's something you really want to hear before you go and play a major. And so I think that does take time for people to adjust to. But Scottie Scheffler seems so unfazed by everything, literally everything. And he just keeps going out there and winning and winning and winning. But I'm just not bought into it yet. Like, I like Scotty. He's a really great guy. He seems awesome.
Yeah.
But I don't know if this is just like an amazing stretch of a couple of weeks where he's just like playing really great, or is this going to turn into a really long lasting, successful career where he has 5 to 10 majors and he has, you know, 2 to 3 wins every single year. I don't know yet. I really just don't know with his game.
So I don't think he's going to be like a, you know, 10 major winner. I could see him winning 2 to 4 in his career, but I think he's going to be around for the long haul. If you remember, I mean, he won the Web Tour moneyless title to make it onto the PGA Tour. I think that was like 2018. Then 2019, he was Rookie of the Year. So Scottie Scheffler has just done a lot in the time that he has played professional golf. Now, it did take it. It took him, quote unquote, you know, a year or 2 years to win, but he's won 3 times, like we keep saying. And it's easy to kind of forget, like, oh yeah, it was Waste Management. Then it was Arnold Palmer. Then it was the match play last week, because it just kind of happened in such quick succession. But I think he's going to be around for a while. I don't think he's going to be someone that's going to like fade into oblivion. And I think there a lot of the players that are kind of coming out here now, it's like the talent just to get on the tour, you have to be just so good. And we don't really see that as much with players like, oh, a top player kind of fade off. Like Jason Day, he's had his injuries. He's kind of faded from what he was, but he's still out there playing well. You know, he hasn't won too long ago. Rory's not playing as he was, but he still won 2 times last year. So I think Scottie Scheffler is going to be around for the long run. I think he's probably going to be something like a Rory, where he's around and people care about him, and or even like a DJ. And you know, DJ has 20 plus wins on the PGA Tour. So there is, it's kind of hard when the bar that's set is like Tiger for being good at golf. Whereas you look at all these other players, you're like, wow, okay, DJ has more than 20 wins on tour. Rory has more than 20 wins on tour. And Rory won twice last year. And I totally forgot he won the CJ Cup. Like that totally like went over my head. Like looking back on his stats earlier this year, I was like, oh yeah, forgot about that. But I definitely think Scottie Scheffler is going to be around for the long haul. I don't think he's going to win, you know, like 10 majors, but he's going to be around for a while.
3 names that I've been thinking about a lot. They've been in the mix, but really haven't played to, I think, their potential is Brooks Koepka, Justin Thomas, and Jordan Spieth.
Yes.
I think we always bring those names up, but I would say the biggest surprise to me is Justin Thomas. Mm-hmm. He looked like a player who was going to be considered almost like a next Tiger. He started to win a lot. He looked like he was going to have a career of 5 to 10 majors. It's slowed down a little bit now. How are you feeling about his career and where he's at with his game?
Yeah, I mean, he, like you just said, you just turned 29, right? And I think you guys are around the same age. So I think he's about to turn 29 this month. I think he's like an April birthday. So I think the best of his career is coming up. Like, I just think he's so talented. You know, he won the Players last year and you kind of forget about that because he really didn't quote unquote do much after that, but he still won the Players. And you kind of would have thought that that may have set him up for a little bit more tournament success as the year went on, but he went to the Ryder Cup. He had a good showing at the Ryder Cup. Like, he's a player. Like, when I think of top Americans, I'm thinking of who's going to make the Ryder Cup every year. And it's going to be Justin Thomas and Dustin Johnson. And I think Scottie Scheffler for the next few years, like, you know, for Jordan Spieth has kind of fallen off. Like, he was someone that we would have expected to continually be on the Ryder Cup team, but like Justin Thomas, even with his quote unquote lackluster year, I think he's going to be someone that's going to be on the Ryder Cup team for a long time to come. I think he's someone that's going to have a card on the PGA Tour for a long time to come. And I think he's going to keep winning well into his 40s.
I think so too. Same with, I think Jordan Spieth is going to do the same thing. I think he's going to have amazing years. And I think he's going to have down years. He's just a bit of a streaky player because it all depends on how well he's putting. And so when he's feeling it, I feel like he really plays off of his confidence. Same with DJ too. Once DJ gets hot, then he's unstoppable. Mm-hmm. And Rory too. They're just streaky players where it's just like,
golf, you know,
it's just,
and
golf.
You know it.
Yeah.
It's like one of those things where, I mean, I'm sure you, when you played your tournament golf, you would have, you know, a week where you'd have a really good week and then the next week would be really good. And then you have, you know, 2 weeks not playing great. And then, you know, 3-4 weeks of playing amazing golf. So like, did you see that in your career?
Oh, 100%. I was talking to one of my friends on tour, and they said that you make all of your money in 2 to 3 weeks mm-hmm. when you're just feeling your game. And so it's like you have to capitalize on when things are clicking, because golf is such a game of confidence. And so when you get that confidence, and I'm sure you can think about this too, and anyone listening right now, think back to your best round of golf. Mm-hmm. You're not thinking of anything.
No.
The hole looks big. You're making everything. Yeah. Like it just comes together. You're not doing anything differently. You're not thinking of anything differently. You're just feeling it. And then you kind of get that confidence, and then you hit one bad shot and then all goes to shit and you're like, okay, let's rebuild again. All and right. then it's weeks of trying to get that feeling back. But
yeah,
it's just so weird that like when you have those good rounds and you're playing well, there's not a thought in your mind, a care yeah. in the world. It just makes it so easy. And it is. It's like you just have those couple good weeks and then it all falls apart. And then you yeah. have to rebuild to get hopefully another couple good weeks, and then it all falls apart. And
yeah,
and that's why we love golf so much. I think something though that we did slightly mentioned in the beginning was Phil Mickelson mm-hmm. not playing in the Masters. And that was a huge story with mixed reviews. I think a lot of people are like, well, I don't really care. I kind of feel that way because I'm petty because he blocked me and I don't really care about Phil anymore. Yeah. And then a lot of people they're missing Phil. Yeah. You know, they feel that, you know, potentially it's unfair. There's a lot of speculation on why he's not playing. Is it the fact that he just doesn't want to play? Is he suspended? Was he not invited back? Like, whatever it might be. But I don't really care yeah. that Phil isn't at the Masters. And again,
yeah.
my opinion is coming from a very petty place.
Fair.
You'll need to understand that. Once you block me, you're dead to me. So
I noted.
No good feelings towards Phil. But Penny, I'm just like, I don't really care. I'm kind of over the Phil drama, to be honest.
Yeah, I think at some point it's like the golf world's just got to move on. Like, Phil needs to be allowed to play, you know? It's like, I don't know, there's got to be something else going on behind the scenes with the people that make the decisions, because there's no reason that he's still not playing. Like, after what he said, like, he, you know, it wasn't good what he said at all. Not okay. But I don't think it was something that would be like career ruining, you know, because you look at, you know, other players that have been caught saying stuff on hot mics, not even in an interview, and you know, they get a little bit in trouble for that. So I think at some point Phil needs to come back, but I think there's a lot of kissing and making up that needs to be done in a certain town in North Florida. And until that happens, I don't think we're going to see Phil Mickelson. Someone asked me on Twitch last night, they're like, well, he'll have to play the US Open. I said, absolutely not. Like, if he's not back playing tour stuff, like if he hasn't made up with the governing bodies of golf, USGA is not going to be the first to welcome him back with opening arms.
Sure as hell will not exactly. play. Yeah. A USGA event. They have a, and it's really interesting when you think of all the different governing bodies in golf.
Yeah.
He kind of has beef with a lot of them. Like, it's not just like the PGA Tour. It's like he yeah. hates the USGA. I don't think people remember when he was putting back and forth and just kept, he just.
I was there. I was standing on the green at Shinnecock when he did that. And I turned, I might've been with Alan Shipnuck, and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, what the fuck did he, what? Like, I was yeah. like, wait. Like, I was so, I'm standing there. I'm like, wait, hold on, what? Like, I was like, am I in a parallel universe? Is there a glitch in the matrix? Like, what the fuck did he just do?
Yeah. And that was an act of rebellion. Like, that yeah. was a huge middle finger to the USGA and nothing more than that. And it is shocking that he has continued to just come back after that too and has played. And so it's interesting. I don't feel like Phil is the type of guy who wants to apologize.
Yeah, I can't see that.
On the petty scale, there's me, and then I think there's Phil even more. Like, I just don't think I think it's gonna take a long time for him to like suck up his ego and apologize to anyone about this, because I don't feel like he thinks he's in the wrong. I think that he feels that what he said was right. He believes in what he's doing, and I don't think he's ever gonna apologize. I think he just might. I don't think he'll ever play the PGA Tour again. He might not, or an USGA event. He might just honestly wait for the Saudi Tour to come together and then go play there. And I think that might be the first time he plays, to be honest.
I did. I said that on my Twitch stream yesterday. I said, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me. June 5th shows up in London for the LIV Golf Tour or whatever. I think that's the first event. But the thing is too, like, Phil needs PGA Tour champions. Like, he needs that money. Like, he can make a lot of money playing there, and I think he needs it. So I don't know. I think he's got to kind of make amends at some point or figure it out, because golf without Phil isn't fun either. Granted, yeah, okay, he's a little older, but it is great having him on the Champions Tour. I mean, I can only look at Bernhard Langer for so long.
Agree with that. And he's interesting. And I always say this about any player who's a bit polarizing. I could not like things that they do, but I love what they do for the game of golf. Same with Bryson. There's things that Bryson does that I don't always agree with, or I don't like that he says, but I really like Bryson when he's on tour because of what he says and what he does. It just makes it interesting because, again, we look and we just have these nice guys on tour all getting along. They all seem so great. And it's like, you need people in there to mix it up. And so not having Phil, well, Phil's different. I have my own issues with Phil. But all the other guys.
We're gonna have to have you guys kiss and make up. We need a fireside with Paige and Phil soon. Can we get that going, Octagon? Thanks.
Gosh. I don't know. If he apologizes and unblocks me, then maybe.
Okay.
Maybe I'll reconsider.
He's gonna apologize to Paige before he apologizes to Jay Monahan. You heard it here first.
It's just like, I feel like Phil Mickelson's like shit list. It's like Paige Sporanic, PGA Tour. USGA.
Literally Tiger.
Oh gosh. Speaking of shit lists, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, I have beef with a certain putting method that we're gonna get into after this break, so keep on listening.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
Have a ton of questions about LASIK? You're not alone. That's why we created LASIK.com, one place where you can go to find every answer to every question on your mind. Like, how much does LASIK cost? How long does recovery take? How do I find a doctor? If you've been thinking about LASIK, go to LASIK.com now. Yeah, LASIK.com. Easy to remember, so you know where to start.
LASIK, LASIK.com.
So we are back. Amanda, I have had...
You have had a nice week, haven't you?
I've had two weeks in a row now where I've had some Twitter beef.
You have?
Yeah. I just want to like mind my own business and stay out of drama. But that's not in the cards for me. Not in the cards for me. The first week was I kind of started that one. I'll take the blame for that, even though I was in the right.
And even though I was in the right.
I was in the right, clearly. But it was my birthday. And I just got out of this lovely massage because, you know, what I do is quite stressful. And
yeah.
You just need time to like to yourself and decompress. And so I am all like oiled up, so relaxed, zen. Naturally, I go to check Twitter.
Naturally. The best thing to do when you feel good inside, you open Twitter because it'll change things immediately.
You open Twitter, you know? So I'm just like sitting at the spa, opening Twitter. And you know what I see?
What do you see there, Paige?
Yeah. So I see Aimpoint.
Aimpoint.
Taking a shot at me. Aimpoint. For people who don't know what Aimpoint is, it's a putting method. You know, it's that thing where like you read it with your feet and you stick like one, two, or three fingers up, four, and it like tells you the break.
Yeah.
They came at me on Twitter.
Of all the people, they come at Paige. So backstory. Can I give a little backstory here for the listeners? So
Keegan Bradley was doing his little aim point thing. Took him like 5 minutes to miss a putt, whatever. Everyone's kind of ragging on it. I would just like to say I stayed out of that. Usually I'm quick to be like, what the fuck? Can we hurry up? But I was like, you know what? I want to watch this from a distance. But and I didn't know Paige had tweeted about it. Like I was, you know, watching this, whatever, not knowing Paige had tweeted anything. Next thing I know, aim point is like, hey, Paige, thanks for the hate. You just helped us sell the most DVDs in a single day. And I was like, wow, that's so great. What'd you double it from? 1 to 2? Like, who buys DVDs? You have a VHS too? Maybe are you not ready for Blu-ray? Is that a little too expensive for you, finger sniffers?
Literally. The video was, yeah, Keegan Bradley. He was taking forever to putt. Honestly, to me, it had nothing to do with aim point. Like, I have used aim point. Like, when I was in college, my coach
at some point.
Yeah, and did like an aim point clinic. And we were all like, you know, finger and buttholes with our two fingers. Like, we were literally all doing aim point. It was just a thing that we were doing. Yeah. And I've like used aim point for, I have no beef with aim point. The video of Keegan Bradley was unbearable to watch.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. It had nothing to do with aim point. I don't care what you do. You could roll around on the putting green and lick it.
I don't care. But then, but that video didn't do you too well though, right?
Yeah. Check my Instagram account. I have a video of me rolling around on the ground.
That was such a good video though.
I digress. I don't care. You can do whatever you want, but do it quickly. That was my whole point. I hate slow play. It is my biggest pet peeve. I think that it is ruining the game of golf. And I hate when people say these guys are playing for millions and millions of dollars. They can take as much time as they want. No, that is not the spirit of the game.
Or within
That's
the
not
rules.
How it works. It is not in the rules. And you can't do that. If you look at every other sport, every fucking sport, you can't just like dribble the ball forever. You have a time limit.
Yeah.
You have to do things in a certain amount of time. Quarterbacks, you have time before you snap it. You have time. Like, it's just how it works.
Yeah.
And so with golf, if you're over the amount of time, even if it's a second, you're over the amount of time. That is against the rules.
Yeah.
It is disrespectful to the game of golf, the spirit of golf, and it's also highly disrespectful to your playing competitors.
Yeah.
I don't care. You should get a penalty if you are a second over the time limit. And I stand by that. And so when Keegan Bradley was like literally walking around, he stood literally over the ball for forever. It was like a 45 second long video, but we don't even know when it first started. It started like mid his routine. So this could have been going on forever. And so all I did was quote tweet the video and I said, nightmare fuel. That is all I said.
All you said.
No mention of aim point, nothing about the putting method. All I said was nightmare fuel. Nothing about Keegan Bradley. I like Keegan Bradley. I pick nice Keegan Bradley continuously. But he's also known for being a bit painful to watch. He has these tics when he plays. He's a bit of a slow player. It is what it is. Nothing against him. Play faster. And so for aim point to come at me and be like, oh, Miss Anti-Bully was so quick to ridicule aim point and Keegan Bradley. And I'm like, literally, fuck you. Fuck you.
Like tweets out of context. It's like they didn't even read the original tweet or like, you know what? Nightmare fuel. They came for me, but I took that personally.
Yeah, I am such a big bully. Oh, that's me. Shocking. I was shocked. I'm sitting there shocked and I'm like fuming right now
too.
Because I was one of maybe thousands, thousands of people within the golf community who tweeted that video. And I did not mention the putting method.
Yeah.
Other people who had verified check marks were calling for aim point to be eliminated from golf, from the rules. Like at aim point, you shouldn't be allowed to do this anymore.
Yeah, literally.
Yet they call me out for being a bully. And so I had this whole response back to them and I was like, clearly you're just using me for clout. Here you go. If you think this is bullying, like get the fuck off of Twitter. That is one of my other big pet peeves is when people come at me and say that if I defend myself, if I say something that I can't because I worked with an anti-bullying organization in the past. Like, and it's what? Like, do you guys not know what actual bullying is? It's like, no wonder all of us as a society are so fucking soft because if you think that's bullying, then you have another thing coming to you because that is not bullying at all. You're allowed to have an opinion. You're allowed to be critiqued, and it's not bullying. It's just not.
No.
And so then I was like, you point at least wish me like a happy birthday because I gave you the gift of engagement. And he was like, happy birthday. I just wish he didn't slam us. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? And then they tweeted at me again and they kept going.
And then I jumped
and
in.
And then Cameron, and they were like, it was a video of Cameron Smith. And they were like, Cameron Smith only took 5 seconds. The video was 15 seconds long.
Counting's hard, Paige, even for aim point. That's why they only go up to 4.
I mean, guys usually like to pretend that they last longer than that. But like, what are you guys doing? And then it was just so incredibly bizarre. Yeah. The entire situation. I will say, like, out of all of the feuds that I've had, I never saw aim point being one of them. But now I'm just going to keep it going because they came at me. And if I'm such a big bully, then there you go.
Yeah. No. So first of all, I just can't get over how they like were beating their own drum about DVD sales like that. I couldn't, like, that was when I jumped in and was like, first of all, you have a Twitter. Congrats. Second of all, why are you going after Paige? And third, you know, it's 2022, right? Like, where are you going with this? But speaking of the time of the stop clocks, I think it's like, golf sixes or something, or some event in like Denmark where they have the time clock thing. We should go there. We should be there. Their social media people this year. Just have Alex or someone call them and, you know, we'll get over there and we'll time people and fuck aim point. I'm just kidding, aim point. I didn't mean
that. Yeah, you're like, no, well, I don't want
to. No, I did mean that because of Paige. But also, if you ever want to give me money, I'm happy to take it.
Do they have a competitor? Is there like another competitor I can start to? Maybe.
That's a great question. I don't know, but if you notice a lot of the guys that use Aimpoint, all your like anchored putter guys, right? So it's like Adam Scott, Keegan Bradley. Okay, those are the two I can really think of with Aimpoint right now. And they both have weird putters.
Apparently Cam Smith. I don't know. They'll probably tweet us as all of their players that only take a maximum of 20 seconds. I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you literally don't. There's a timestamp on the video. Like, how dumb.
You know who we should try to be like besties with? Craig Farnsworth, the putting guru, the guy he like used to help Nick Faldo and stuff. And I actually took a putting clinic with him. And then the next competitive round I played, like the next few days, I putted the best I've ever putted in my life. So we are huge Craig Farnsworth fans here on the Playing Around podcast. Make sure you check him out. He's an old guy. I think he's still around. Yeah, I'm sure he has DVDs. He probably has VHS tapes. Like, I'm not even kidding. But
go support your local putting method.
Your local putting method.
Oh, they are number one on my shit list because it was so uncalled for. Random. And then there were people that I know within like the community who were liking that tweet. And I was like, block. I felt like Phil Mickelson. I was like, block, block, block.
You're gonna have to tell me. You're gonna later. You have to tell me who did it, because then I'll go block him too. Yeah, I know when people that you think you're cool with like a tweet that's like a jab at you, and you're like, what? What? Like, I wouldn't do that to you. Like, I would never go and like a tweet that, you know, someone who I know is like getting shit on. Like, I'm not gonna go and like Aubley Westwood's tweets shitting on Golf Digest and, you know, like Joe Beal. Like, I'm not gonna go and like those tweets, even if they are kind of funny, they're mean and they're unnecessary. But like, I, you know what I mean? Like, if they know you, don't like that. Like, you can see when the people you know like your like shit that you're tagged in. So
yeah, it was on the, it was like a verified account. I'm like, I can see you, girl. I can see you. Now you can't see my stuff because I fucking blocked you. Yeah. But I can see that you looked, and I will never forget. But the thing is, it's like Aimpoint comes at me for being a bully, but they were bringing attention for people to bully me. And I think that is something too that is just so messed up when people do that. It's like, you're setting me up. You know what you're doing. Yeah. Clearly, you know what you're doing. You are setting me up to be bullied. And the first comment, the very first comment on it was, she's a whore.
Well, I mean, that's not true. First of all, you don't have sex for money. So you're not a whore. Second of all,
there we go. Glad we crossed that one off the list.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're literally setting you up to be bullied. And like, I know when sometimes people will say something mean to me, I used to like, would like retweet it. Like, I remember one time someone was like, oh, you and your draining American horse shit. And I was like, okay. So I went, all right, guys, go after him. And I like, we did it. And people were vicious. I mean, this poor guy, I mean, granted, I think I was in like Ireland at the time. So jet lagged, probably drinking, was like, go after him, get him. And it's fun to do that, but it's kind of mean when you send the wolves out, but it is kind of fun.
Come at me. I'll come at you too. It's just as simple as that. We are in this together now. Like the first week, it was your feud that I jumped in, and it turned into mine. And then this week, it was me against Aimpoint.
Your feud jumped in. Is my feud. Just know that. So anyone who fights with Paige, you're fighting with me, and I can be fucking mean. So don't. It's not worth it.
We do have to talk about, because it's the week of feuds, Lee Westwood getting in the mud with Golf Digest, which honestly, I thought it was pretty funny.
I did too.
I don't think that it was warranted off of the tweet. Mm-hmm. So a Golf Digest writer tweeted out that DJ, it would show up to the first tee and not know who Richard Bland is. Richard Bland is this, I call him a journeyman one, since people were highly offended by that. But I feel like that's a great description of kind of his career and what he's been through.
Yeah, you know, he's 49 years old. He's an Englishman. He just won last summer for the first time on the DP World Tour, on the European Tour. So he's had a long career out on the European Tour, but he hasn't quite gotten that win. And he finally did. And, you know, he had the chance to make it to the Masters, and he just missed that this week. But yeah, so the tweet was, like you said, the tweet was, I'm saying, like, DJ would have no idea who Richard Bland was. But that was, I could tell very obviously that was more of a commentary on DJ than Richard Bland, because Richard Bland has received nothing but love and support this week from everyone. And as he should, he's one of the best guys out there.
US Open when he was leading, it was like the Richard Bland story. Like people were so excited for him.
Exactly. And so, and I understand like Golf Digest or, you know, this writer, Joel Beal and Lee Westwood and some of the other guys have been kind of feuding and throw some other writers in there. And all of it stems back to the Saudi Arabia Golf League. And the thing is that I'm seeing in Lee Westwood now, it appears to me that he really, really, maybe, I don't want to say needs the money, because I don't know his financial situation, but he obviously really wants that Saudi Arabian money. And he's obviously embarrassed about wanting it or maybe needing it because of his reaction to everything. Now, there are a lot of guys that if you're in your end of your career, you're 48 years old and someone's offering you $30 million a year. I mean, yeah, you take it. I get it. But I think there needs to be a way that Lee is just been, can be like, you know what? Yeah, I want the money. You think I'm a, you know, blood money taker, whatever. I don't really care. I'm going to do what's best for me. That would be fine. But like, don't just go after writers and stuff and then send your 1 million followers on the writer when you kind of missed what was
the joke.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I want to be careful. I mean, I don't think Lee Westwood was going to listen to this. And I don't really want him sending his fans out on me, because I've never said a bad word about Lee Westwood. I've been a fan of his my whole life, but I do kind of feel bad. Like, I feel bad for Joel Beal. I think he's a really nice guy. He wrote a really interesting article a few years ago about his own journey and realizing his autism. And, you know, I think that's, it was an incredible story he wrote. I read it back when he wrote it, and someone tweeted it recently, and it was a really nice story. And just that kind of makes me feel even more bad. It's like, oh my gosh, like we really shouldn't be sending people out to attack this guy. But at the same, I'm going to say one more thing. So people are saying, oh, well, you need to be more accountability from like Golf Digest senior writer. It's like, but that's his Twitter. Like, he's not publishing that in the magazine. Like, he can say whatever he wants on his Twitter, and nothing he really said was mean.
It really wasn't a bad tweet. Again, it was more a shot at DJ being oblivious to everything around him, which is well known. Like, you see his
literally
interview clips. Like, DJ is the way he is, and that's why we love him. I mean, mm-hmm. He said, what's the best part about being at Augusta? And he said, the sandwiches.
Yeah, literally.
It's just how DJ is. And so again, I took that tweet as a shot at DJ, not a shot at Richard Bland. I can also see the other side where, you know, they're probably really good friends with him. They want to defend him. And it was an opportunity to take shots at Golf Digest. And
which I'm happy to do most of the time.
Like, we all love taking shots at people. And it's hard because I see both sides of it. Because I think that, like, there are times where I will respond to someone else and maybe it wasn't warranted. And then I have all of my followers attacking that person.
Yeah, and I feel bad sometimes.
It depends. It really does depend. But at the same time, it's like, We're on Twitter for a reason. Mm-hmm. It's conflict. You want drama. And my issue is when people don't play it back and forth. I think this actually would have been a really good opportunity for Golf Digest to leverage this into more followers. Turn it into a game. That's what I do. Same like with Aimpoint. It's a game now. It's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
It should be that back and forth. I wish Aimpoint was coming back at me, because then it's like, it turns into this thing and people like want to tune in and they want to watch it.
Yeah.
And so for Golf Digest, which it's a bit of a dying publication within the game. I feel like Golf Digest once was,
it was
once at the top, and now people look at Golf Digest and some of their posts aren't that great. I mean, people laugh about it, but this would have been a cool opportunity for him to keep jumping back, and Lee would have kept jumping back, and people would start to follow Golf Digest because it's fun. They like this. It's drama. Yeah. It's like a reality show that's happening in front of your eyes. And so again, I didn't see much back and forth from Golf Digest side, except for them kept telling Lee to like, stop it.
Yeah.
That's lame.
Yeah.
I don't like that. That's stupid. Like what Lee was saying wasn't even that mean, in my opinion. He was just like calling them out.
Well, he did call him a bell end a bunch, which is like English slang for a penis. Like calling him a dick. He's a bell end. So I will say that, like,
it's kind of funny.
It is kind of funny, but also it's like, he did keep saying that. So.
Oh man.
Look at Paige. Paige is like, penis joke.
Seriously, I have like the sense of humor of like a 12-year-old boy.
I know. That's why I love you.
I think it's funny. I think it's funny. I think that maybe my mind is just like so fucked up from being in this industry for like such a long time.
Me too, though.
I have like no sense of like reality or what's right and what's wrong. I just like work in like the guidelines of my life is Twitter. And it's like, if someone's mean to you, you can be mean back, and you have to keep being mean to each other. And that's how it works. And I'm like, that's not real life. Like, people shouldn't act that way.
No.
And we are seeing people act in ways that are not really acceptable by society guidelines. For example, Will Smith smacking the shit out of Chris Rock. So
that was crazy. So actually, okay. So I'm watching the video when it happens, and he says something about, you know, Chris Rock says something about G.I. Jane. The camera pans to Will and Jada. Will is laughing. He laughs. He looks over at her and she's going. And I think that's why, I think he got really embarrassed and was like, oh shit, I got to do something. So then he slapped him. That's my opinion. What was your view of all that?
Whole thing's crazy to me. I will say this, that I saw a lot of women on Twitter and they were like, if my husband defended me by slapping someone, like that's what I want in life. I'm like, no, to me, that's a pussy move.
Yeah.
I don't like that. If someone says something mean to me and your first reaction is to bitch slap that person, no way. And what is up with all these guys open palm, like slapping people? What happened to a good old fashioned punch? Like, if you're going to be like hyper masculine and hit someone, wouldn't you want to just punch them instead of like, oh, like they're having like, like even Will's like slap was like, it was, I don't know. To me, I didn't look at that as like a woman and was like, yeah, I love that. That's so hot.
I jokingly did that because I tweeted, I was like, how do I find a man that's going to do that? Everyone's like, the local county jail. And then finally, that was like, the local county jail was the best response. And then someone else was like, do you have no class or something like that? And then someone underneath goes, dot, 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 it's satire. And I was like, thank you. So then I finally had a tweet. I'm like, it's a joke. I don't want a man to fight other men. Let's fight with our words.
Scott, can you imagine like our future husbands?
Or lightsabers.
Yeah, lightsabers. If someone looked at a lightsaber and was like fighting, then
yeah,
it changed my panties. I mean, came over.
I think they're bringing out sabers, whatever the fuck they're called. They're bringing them out in Fortnite.
Sabers, but sabers.
Yeah, they're supposed to bring them out in Fortnite. I don't know if it's going to be like a pickaxe tool or if it's like an actual like melee weapon. I don't know, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, the whole thing was just super bizarre. But again, it goes back to our original point of like, we feel entitled to be able to do whatever we want because we're offended. That's not how this works anymore. It goes back to, again, Aimpoint calling me a bully for saying absolutely nothing, to Lee Westwood being offended by missing a small little piece of the joke, mm-hmm. to Chris Rock being a comedian and not being able to do his job.
Well,
that one goes back and forth. Yeah. I understand that he said something about Jada made a joke about her hair condition, which is something
he did. I don't know.
He said he didn't know.
Okay. So, and that's the thing too. Like, he didn't know. And if he had known, I'm sure, you know, he wouldn't have said it. But then, that also kind of, you understand like Will's reaction in a way, because, you know, it's not easy. It can't be easy.
No, but I mean, it's like at the Oscars.
I know.
And it's live and you go and like,
that was a little weird.
Slap someone. It's just, and then he wins and everyone like forgets about it. And then he's like dancing to like,
he's like, God told me to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
did he?
God told me to bitch slap someone.
I'm like, God told me to go steal a Ferrari, but I haven't done it yet because I don't want to hang out in the county jail with my future husband.
Speaking of Ferrari, so I was in California for a work trip. Ooh, and I was able to drive a Ferrari for a day.
Oh my God.
So yeah, it was amazing. So much fun. It was insane. So my hands were like shaking, palms were sweaty. Like, Yeah. I was literally just like trembling, and like showed me how to like drive and everything. I will say, I can't stop that thing. I have like a lead foot, but I was driving this car and I was like, when I was going, I was fine. But anytime I had to like slow down or stop, I was like,
it was like a touch break.
Yeah, like looked over at me and was like, you good?
Car did you steal? Yeah, like,
yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I like gave him like a head nod. I was like, just like going back and forth. But it was fun to drive. Speaking of cars, I had to mention that one.
That sounds like a lot of fun. I'm a little jealous, but it sounds like a lot of fun.
So maybe we can go drive Ferraris together at some point.
Yes.
But I think that my braking issue goes back to the first car that I was given. Well, it was my dad's car.
Was it like an old SUV or something?
The grocery getter. It was a Saab, but it was a hatchback. And so,
I remember that car.
Yeah. And so I drove it and gave it to me when I went to school, and I drove it in college, but the brakes didn't quite work. They would lock up. And so have to slam on the brakes. And so I'd be like backing up and the brake would lock. And I'm like literally pushing as hard as I possibly could.
Oh, no.
And like the front bumper came off. It was a whole mess. But I think that has forever ruined my driving, because whatever car I'm in, especially with like a touchy brake, I'm like full on like head in the back of the seat every time I touch it.
Okay. So I will be the driver. Confirmed. Yeah, thank you. But then no, we got to get like a courtesy Ferrari for when we go to like the US Open or the PGA Championship. We got to be arriving in style, Paige.
Yeah, people are going to be like, your pop's doing really well.
Yeah, look how good we're doing. We have a Ferrari sponsorship. Like, it's amazing.
Oh gosh. But back to you.
Just going, where were we?
Where were we? Will Smith, Chris Rock. Ultimately, do you agree with it or disagree with what happened? Was it just good for television?
I'll be honest. Like, if I had like a guy that was a very non-violent guy that I dated for a really long time and really like never, you know, raised his hands to me or anyone else and went up and did that, I would probably be like a little turned on. But like, if he's someone that's not violent, like if you're a crazy person, no. But I mean, at the end of the day, you should never put your hands on anyone. Like, that's never okay. But I don't know. I almost feel like it was staged, like to just walk up there. I mean, it wasn't, but like at first I thought it was. And I was like, wait, like when I woke up and saw it, I was like, this can't be real.
No. So I think with what I do, like my line of work, I can't be with someone who is like that.
True.
I have been at so many events that a guy has said something like highly inappropriate to me. And I don't want to just deal with someone who's getting in fist fights all the time or slapping other people. So I have to be with someone who is very level-headed and just kind of lets that stuff roll off their back. And I also feel that like I am a strong, independent woman. And if someone says something to me, I want to have the ability to say something back first. I want to defend myself. I don't need a man to defend me. I can defend myself with my words. And so, or a Twitter beef.
Or a Twitter beef.
But I would like for someone to let me have the first word. And if it escalated, fine. Like, you can step in, but I don't want someone having to defend me. I want to be able to do it myself, because I'm going to feel like, hey, like, you took my time to say something mean to someone else. And I want that.
I want that time back. Damn it. That's fair.
Yeah. So I don't know.
No, you're so right. I didn't even think about it from like your perspective, but I mean, you are so right. In your line of work, you could not be with someone that has a temper or anything like that. And honestly, no one really should be with anyone that has that kind of a temper.
No, but I can see why I think some women find it hot or attractive. I mean, they're defending your honor in a way. Yeah. I think at some like level, we are wired to find that attractive. Like,
we are biologically, evolutionarily, we are. That's how we have been breeding as humans for hundreds of thousands of years, or 100,000 years, I guess, as Homo sapiens. But it all comes down to the social structures, and the men are supposed to protect the women because women have babies, right? So you when you have a baby or you're pregnant, you can't really move around and do stuff. So you need the men to be able to provide, be able to protect you when you're in bed with a baby. So I think, you know, evolutionarily, biologically, that makes sense. But yeah, you still shouldn't punch people. Or, I mean, I guess open hand slapping's fine, but a little bitch.
But I would rather punch. I'm just still going to say that. Like, if it would be to that point, if we're somewhere and someone says something highly inappropriate to me, I would, if a guy slapped another man, I would be like, really?
Then you would turn around and punch him.
Yeah. I'm like, you throw a punch. Like, that's what you would do. But yeah, guys, don't. Violence is never the answer. Never punch, never hit someone. But a guy, I will say this though, a guy who is witty and has like a sharp tongue, that's a turn on to me. So like, if we're somewhere and someone insults you and you say something back that just like can bring them to their knees and destroy them without violence, that is so hot to me. I think that is like my number one turn on. I like someone who is like super witty and can like just destroy you with words.
Like literally the entire population of the United Kingdom. And I'm trying so hard to find my English man. Actually, I like the Irish too. It's not UK. Well, Northern Ireland is, but GB and I, we'll say GB and I.
Is that why you're like, Paige, we have to go to the Open. We're going to the Open. Take me to the Open.
Well, yes, partially yes. But also I just need to travel internationally. Like I was complaining about something. God, I haven't been anywhere lately. Like, I think the last time I left the country was when I went to Dubai, like last year. And everyone was like, wait, you have left the country. You literally went across the fucking globe and you were complaining. And I'm like, yeah, but like, I need more culture. Like that wasn't super cultured there. Cause it's like an amalgam or whatever, just a conglomerate of all these other cultures kind of mashed
amalgamation.
Together. An amalgamation. Yes. But no, we're going to Scotland. We can go visit the Highlands. We can go see where they filmed Outlander. You know, all that fun stuff.
It's true. So I have been to Dubai four times.
Do you like Dubai? I'm not a big fan.
It's interesting. I think it's a place that you need to go and you need to see. I describe it as Disneyland or Disney World mixed with Vegas for adults. Like
but minus the gambling and drinking.
Yeah.
And prostitution. Well, no, there's a lot of prostitution there. Actually, I take that back. If they're all prostitutes.
Maybe that's why I kept getting invited back. Because people think I'm a whore.
Fair. Okay. I thought you had so many men asking you to come like see their super yachts when you were in Dubai.
No, but I've been there like four times. The malls are incredible. They're crazy. There's like a lot of tourism there. So it's very different, I think, than how people expect it to be. Mm-hmm. It's almost like, again, you're like in this fake world where you see diamond encrusted Mercedes and the cops driving like Lamborghinis and Ferraris and the most insane G-Wagons, like the most insane cars.
But then you see these, you know, poor migrant workers that have had everything taken from them. They have their passports taken, you know, after they come over, so they can't leave. They live 2 hours outside of Dubai in like Sharjah or something, like way outside of there. So it's like they have these awful lives and it's like that's what's built that city. And it's just so sad. And like that's what makes me really sad about that, because I'm like one of those people, it's like,
you know what it reminds me of?
What?
Augusta National.
Really? That's funny. And what? So I've never been to Augusta National. Is it because it's like everything's pristine and clean and you know there's like some kind of weird crime going on behind the scenes, or
I don't know what that, but it's like Augusta is beautiful. Augusta National is
but
amazing.
Scary.
Not yeah, yes. The I believe there. There's like an underground Augusta jail. I have this full baked out theory about it.
Yeah.
And like if you do something wrong, they take you down there and then and you forever you just yeah, like you then work there. Like that's your life now.
You spend eternity in the Hooters parking lot and have to help John Daly sell merch.
You are underground the golf course making bird sounds. Like that is your life.
Yo, remember when CBS was pumping in nature sounds?
Nope, that's not CBS. It's the underground workers.
That's right. Sorry, wrong. You're right, Paige. Sorry. It's Gary. What's his name? Gary McCord. Every year when he's not invited back, they shove him in the jail and make him make bird noises so he gets his
cuckoo.
Yeah, he gets his pay from a CBS that week doing that.
That's Gary McCord. He's just down there, you know, working his hours off.
Hello, friends. That bird is Gary.
You just know. And like golf course, beautiful.
Yeah.
The surrounding areas.
Yeah. Augusta.
The nicest place is like a Waffle House.
Literally though. Or the Champions Retreat, which is a little bit like away from there, which is like a nice little community in on itself.
It's just the most bizarre thing. It's like that tournament makes a shit ton of money every single year. I mean, even just the merch shops.
I was like, I think they say like they pay for the tournament every single year in the merch shop alone, not even counting food or ticket sales, or I guess their food probably wouldn't give them that much money when a sandwich is $1.50, but like the merch tents, that's where they make all their money. So not having the Masters in the spring 2 years ago was really hard for them because they lost a lot of that money that they normally would have made.
So you're thinking though, why can't you put it back into the rest of the town?
I don't
care. You think that you'd want to build the rest of it up. Mm-mm. But
that's what's special about Augusta. It's like middle of nowhere, really hidden, you never know it was there kind of thing. And that's, I think that's the beauty of it. But like I can't imagine, well, I guess a lot of guys rent houses and stuff. I was gonna say like I'm saying like Motel Sixes, but yeah, everyone just kind of rents houses and stuff when they're down there.
Let's do some TNA.
Hey, this is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. As a nostalgic voice from your past, I'm here to remind you that amongst the stressful and chaotic existence we live in 2024, you deserve to get away. It's time for a vacation, no matter when you're hearing this. And let me tell you how you'll get there. The 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe. Want to bring the family to the mountains with the Santa Fe's available H-Track all-wheel drive? Well, it's got standard third-row seating and available dual wireless charging pads for the kids who just want to stare at their phone and not talk to you. You know what I mean. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
So we are back with some TNA. So the first question is, what are your bucket list golf courses that you want to play?
That's a great question.
I clearly want to play Augusta.
Obviously.
Have to play that. I really want to play Oakmont. I've never played Oakmont. I want to play Pine Valley. People say that Pine Valley is the best golf course. It's better than Augusta National. It's better than Cypress. It is by far the best golf course out there. So those are a couple that I'm dying to play.
That's awesome. So I would say internationally, the one course I really want to play is Valderrama in Sotogrande, Spain. I love Ana Lucia. I love Spain. Love to play Valderrama. Course, obviously, Augusta National. Now, Pine Valley, I would love to ride, or not ride, like walk around Pine Valley, but it just looks so fucking hard. Like there's just bunker everywhere, fescue everywhere. I mean, that definitely would be an awesome course to play. There's Cypress. I mean, Cypress, Monterey, anything on in California, really. But I mean, I guess like Valderrama or Augusta really would be my two big ones.
I love beautiful golf
courses. I do too.
So there's like, I obviously want to play St. Andrews, but it's not the most scenic.
It's not.
Yeah. You know? Any type of like link style courses.
Well, they are scenic because like, you can see like other islands and like when you're on the water.
Yeah, but
sometimes
like Shinnecock. There's just some courses that are like highly touted that I'm not like, I would love to play, but I'm not like super excited to play.
No, I get that.
Like I love like a manufactured, beautiful golf course.
So I like Nat, like I like Ross and Dick Wilson courses. Like those are my guys, even throwing a Tillinghast here and there. But I really like that kind of classic Northeast golf course, you know, small greens, not, you know, being able to kind of run it up there and stuff. So that's the kind of golf I like. And, you know, it's so different on the West Coast. You know, you have a lot more of the manufactured golf courses out there, and we have more of like the older courses out here. So it is interesting, you know, and I got to play more of the manufactured stuff in Florida when I was down there. So
my game fits link style the best by far.
Amazing.
Like I always play really well on link style golf courses. I play really bad on manufactured type of golf courses, but like beauty wise, they're what I love to play. And like, you're right. Like I grew up in Colorado, very scenic golf courses, Arizona, a lot of them are manufactured, and same with, you know, West Coast golf, like all West Coast golf. It's just kind of like that. And that's just what I have grown to love and get used to. Next question is, how do you feel about someone teaching you the game who doesn't like know it well? So I think we were trying to figure out what this question really meant. And I think it's that when people who are either like new the game or not very good try to help other players, I am highly against this.
Yeah, I am too.
Highly against this. There's been so many times where I've been on the driving range and I see this poor girl who has never played golf before being taught how to play by her shitty ass boyfriend who can't break 150 and he's giving her terrible advice. And golf is hard already. It's difficult. And when you're getting horrible advice on top of that, you're just bound to fail.
Yeah.
And so I hate when people who don't know what they're talking about feel entitled to like give advice because they're just a little bit better than you. Hate that. I despise
that. No, I agree. If you're ever going to learn the game from anyone, it has to be from a good teaching professional, not just the guy at your pro shop, right? It has to be a good teaching professional. Now, I'm not saying the person who works, you know, your head pro or his assistants aren't good teachers. I don't know, but there's a chance that if it's not a teaching pro specifically who's completely focused on that, and you have someone who's, you know, focused on running a golf shop, it's not quite the same. You know, you're not going to get the same level out of that. So if you do want to learn the game, you need to go to someone who knows it very well, who it might not be cheap, but if you want to do it right, you know, golf is a game of bad habits, and whoever has the best of the bad habits wins. And you need to be able to develop good habits early on in the game.
Well, and I think people get confused. There's a difference between a PGA pro who plays on tour and then a PGA teaching pro. And the process is very different. So there's a process that you have to go through.
Governing bodies too. PGA of America versus PGA Tour.
Different classes, different programs, the experience you have to get. But the playing test, you only have to break 80 from the white tees, and they put the pins in the middle of the green. And so you actually don't have to be that good of a player to pass, which a fair amount of people who are teaching aren't actually that good at the game.
Yeah.
And they don't know that much about it. A lot of them don't come from a playing background. It's just something that they've decided to do. And not saying that you have to be a great player to be a great instructor. I think that you do need to just be really knowledgeable, but a lot of them come from just working in a pro shop and then just kind of, you know, seeing what's going on, then they just start teaching. So there are good teaching professionals and there are really, really, really shitty ones out there. So you need to be careful of that. There's also teaching professionals who just want to make money. And so you're not actually going to get better because they're trying to like fix everything in your swing. And I feel like some of them do it to keep you coming back for a really long time. And they're trying to completely retool your entire game. And that is also not the right way to do it.
I feel like there's just a lot of people that really just don't know the swing. Like some of the best coaches I've ever seen don't play ever on their own because they're busy teaching. If they did play, they probably shoot like 75 because they don't practice and they're busy making other people really good. So you got to find the right teaching pro. You got to look and online and make sure it's someone that's qualified. You know, not every single person that has PGA of America, like class A or whatever, teaching whatever, is going to be good at that.
So people got to figure out.
Also good for you too, because there's so many different swing philosophies out there that fit your body differently. So there's obviously like one plane, two plane, different ways to swing it. You have, you know, George Gankis, who does a pretty unique swing, great for some people, terrible for other people. And so I even felt that myself. So you need to find a teaching professional who is really knowledgeable in all of the different types of swings and philosophies, because they'll actually help you find what's natural and just improve on that. Instead of trying to make you fit the mold of a certain swing, they're going to fit a certain mold to your, you know, natural ability and what feels good to you. And I think that's the best thing. It's even like when you go to club fitting. So like when I go to Club Champion, I love working with them because they never try to fix your swing to fit a golf club. They fit the golf clubs to you.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've been at other fitting places where it's like, well, you here, try this with your swing and then the club will work. I'm like, that's not,
that's not how it works.
A club fitting works. But it's also the same with swings too, for like women. You know, I always struggled with my takeaway because I have, you know, boobs. It's just, they're there.
I have boobs.
And a lot of male instructors, because they don't have boobs, they don't know how to set up differently.
Yeah.
So I started working with Tyler Hall and he was the first one. I was like, I can't take it back right. And he's like, well, like you have a chest, let's move a little farther away. You're not supposed to do that.
Right.
But it actually fixed my takeaway.
That's great.
And so again, it's like working with people who understand your body, your athletic ability, where you are in your game. And then from there, they'll improve it. You improve your swing, improve your game, and not massive changes either. Cause a lot of people don't have the time and effort to be able to practice 5 hours a day to actually make a swing change.
No, I agree. It's something
small fix that's going to help you just play better golf. Like that's what swing instructors should be doing, but they don't want to do that because then it's like one small fix, you're never going to come back again. And then they lose out on money.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think, yeah, you just got to go to the right person. You got to find something right for you and just don't listen to you like your buddies or your boyfriend or some guy that's not a plus three handicap. Like it's just, or me. I mean, you could listen to me because I know what I'm talking about. But.
Well, I hope you guys enjoyed today's episode. For more TNA, you can email us at par@iheartradio.com or you can send us an Instagram message at the Playing Around account. And don't forget to leave some 5 stars, write us a nice review, send it out to anyone you know. We're trying to grow this as much as we possibly can. So we always appreciate the support and we will catch you here next time. Thanks, guys.
Follow Playing Around with Paige Renee on iHeartRadio or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Zero Foxtrot isn't just a brand, it's a way of life. Founded and operated by veterans, Zero Foxtrot's unique apparel and gear echoes the grit of the warrior culture. Zero Foxtrot dedicates itself to producing content, honoring the sacrifices of forgotten heroes of the past, and connecting history to the present. Embark on a journey with Zero Foxtrot today at ZeroFoxtrot.com. It's not merely our products, it's about the ethos that we embody. Rugged, resilient, and timeless.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful fingersticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.